Four Oaks, we are about to embark next week on a year-long study in the book of Acts. And for those of you who are new or just otherwise, you may wonder, how do we decide what to preach on any given season? We typically preach through books of the Bible, and we just kind of put all the books of the Bible, put their name in a hat, and we draw. And last, we just kept coming up with Leviticus like three times in a row. And so fearing that God was telling us to do something, we just decided, oh, let's do Acts. No, actually, there's good reasons, and I want to talk about this morning. In fact, the name of this sermon is Why Acts? And I want to project for us as a church family what it is about this book that we believe is particularly relevant for us as a church family during this season. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 1. And we're not going to camp out on one specific text this morning. We're going to look at several. The pastors went away for our annual retreat a couple of weeks ago, and we were just prayerfully considering our mission statement here at Four Oaks Church and tweaking it and praying over it and looking at it and evaluating it. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, the way that we say why we exist here at Four Oaks is that we exist in order to treasure, grow, and go in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Treasure, grow, and go in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some of the language we use, you've heard us use this before if you've been around, really corresponds to three realities that we want to orient you to as in your personal lives and as a church family. And we call those upward, inward, outward. Meaning we always want to be directing people upward in their affections, in their worship, in towards God, learning about Him, treasuring Him, honoring Him, not merely looking at things from a horizontal level, but orienting everything in life to our worship with God. That's upward. Inward really characterizes our relationships with one another as a church family, that we want to be growing together, being in community, relationships, friendships. We want to orient towards the family of God. But also, finally, we want to orient ourselves outwardly. So outward, we know that we don't exist merely for ourselves and our own community. We want others to experience the blessings of being of knowing Jesus Christ and being part of His church that we also experience. And oftentimes, you've heard me say this before, there's an assumption in church life that no church can do all three of these things well. And you may have heard similar sorts of language. Oh, that church is really great at teaching and preaching the Bible. Or that church is great on relationships. Or that church really is on fire for evangelism and mission. And so it's very easy to settle in at a church that orients to our own giftings and preference. But one of the problems with that is that we don't think the scriptures give us that option as a church family. It's why we look at the book of Acts and why we think it's a particularly great book for us for this coming season is that the New Testament church was not perfect, okay? In fact, far from it. However, they were a church that oriented to these three things. They knew why they existed. They were a worshiping church. They were a fellowshipping church. They were an evangelizing church all at the same time. And they were able to walk in faith and hold these things in tension. And this morning, I want to highlight three themes for us as a church family for the book of Acts that I think correspond to these upward, inward, outward dimensions, and talk about why we as elders and pastors particularly believe that they are very relevant for us as a church family this season. So that's where we're going this morning, and I will lead us into the Lord's table together. But we need His help, so let's pray and ask God to open our hearts to what He would want to teach us from His Word. Lord Jesus, we are looking forward to an incredibly exciting season here at Four Oaks Church in the city of Tallahassee. We eagerly anticipate what You will do in our hearts and in our church families, in our personal lives through this book. But Lord, we know that apart from the life-giving work of the Spirit, it's all for naught. You have to be the one to infuse it with life You have to be the one to awaken our hearts to spiritual realities. And we pray that you would begin to do that this morning. We want to eagerly anticipate what you have for us, Lord. So we ask that you bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. First theme, and this corresponds to the upward dimension of our Christian life that we're going to really come face to face with in the book of Acts is this. Four Oaks, we need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And another way to say this is this. If God doesn't show up, we can't show him. And by show, I mean demonstrate and live out lives in a way that honors him and points to him. We need the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives because if God doesn't show up, we can't show him. You know, Acts, we are going to find, church, and the pastors have been reading and studying this book in our personal quiet times over the past season. One of the things that particularly strikes me is that Acts is a Holy Spirit book. If you open your Bible into the book of Acts and you put your finger on a passage, okay, you are most likely going to run into some sort of message oriented to the reality of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this question. How is it that at the end of the book of John, we have a community of disciples of 120 scared disciples huddled in a room? John tells us it's out of fear of the Jews. They were terrified. Jesus had died, and they were huddled there and waiting, and what do we do? And they're scared for their very lives. How in the space of a mere few weeks does 120 people be transformed into a community of people who are willing to lay their life down for the gospel, who have had their hearts and their minds and their very lives and worldview transformed? And the answer is this: God's Holy Spirit. Look at John 1, verses 4 through 5 in your Bibles, and we have it on the screen as well. And Jesus and Luke tells us this: and while staying with them, there we go, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So here's an interesting question for us. Have you ever wondered why didn't Jesus just send out the apostles immediately once he had ascended into heaven? I mean, after all, didn't this group of 120 have everything they needed? I mean, when we think about planting churches, this group was a church planter's dream, right? They had their core group. They had received 3 years of amazing teaching at the feet of Jesus. Okay, that's pretty awesome teaching. They knew their mission. In fact, this group had seen the resurrected Jesus. Did they not have all of the elements that were particularly relevant for being on mission, for fulfilling this commission that Jesus Christ had given them? Apparently not, because Jesus said, "You know what? I don't want you to go. I want you to go back to Jerusalem, back to that upper room, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray, and I want you to wait." And the question we have to ask is why? And I think Acts is going to tell us this. They didn't have everything that they needed. What they needed was the very presence and power of God that he would provide through the indwelling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question, Four Oaks. What are your dreams? Now, we talk a lot here, if you're new, you need to know this, we talk a lot here about broken dreams, okay? Bad dreams, not the kind at night, but like just the self-oriented dreams, dreams that are oriented to worldly fame or success or money or possessions. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about good, godly, Christ-centered dreams. And I know a lot of you have them. You have dreams about what you want to see God do in your life. You have dreams about what you want him to see him do in your marriage or in your parenting. Some of you have dreams about ministry. You know, God, I want you to do this in this group of men I'm discipling. God, this group of women that I'm pouring my lives into, Lord, really work in a powerful way. My fellowship group, prayer. A lot of you have good, godly, Christ-centered dreams. You need to know, as pastors and elders, we have dreams too. There are so many things that we are praying that God would do in the life of our church family. But here's the deal. Acts is going to remind us this season that apart from the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit, God going with us. Four Oaks, understand this. You and I, we've got nothing. We've got no life. We have nothing eternal. We have no lasting significance. There's nothing permanent. There's nothing to stand on. Because we can have the greatest strategies in the world. We can have strategies for how God is going to work here and there in our work, in our family, in our marriage, in our church, in our ministry, in our job. But here's the problem. Our culture, the culture that's around us, it eats our strategy for lunch. Our worldliness, our sin nature can so easily devour all of our best laid plans. We don't need strategy. Let me put it this way. Strategy is not what we need most. You and I need awakening and revival by virtue of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And what we're going to find in the book of Acts, because remember, Jesus said, don't go. You need to wait. You need something that you do not have in order to do what I've called you to do. You need the Holy Spirit. Because we need awakening. We need revival. You know, we're going to find in the book of Acts that the baptism of the Spirit is what happens when Jesus, through His Spirit, anoints and empowers a person uniquely for action. There's an urgency. There's life. There is motivation. There's a changedness. Revival is what happens when God's Holy Spirit does that collectively for a group of people, a large group. And for us, that's what we need. Fundamentally, whatever it is that you think that you need at this point in your life, and you're a student, and you might think, what I need is a different teacher. Okay, we're kind of about that part in the semester, right? Okay, 2 weeks, and you're like, yeah, not really working. I need a new teacher. Okay, or I need a new job, or I need a new fellowship group. Okay. Or I need a whatever. I need a new church. I need a new this. I need a new that. Understand this. The thing that you and I, Four Oaks, that we need the most is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. God's very presence in our lives. Because if He doesn't show up, we can't show Him. That's theme number one. Theme number two. If the presence and power orients to the Holy Spirit orients to the upward dimension of our lives, then the second theme that I think is really important for us, for a church family this season, is one that corresponds to the inward dimension of our lives, and it's this. Four Oaks, we need the community of God's people. Another way to say that is that we want to foster a fierce commitment. Sounds vicious, doesn't it? A fierce commitment to the family of God. Look at Acts 2:44. And it says here, and Luke tells us about this about the early church, and all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. What do you think about that? They were together, and they had all things in common. One of the things as pastor, one of my burning passions is to eliminate the jargon that we often use when we talk about church life. So when you got up this morning, what did you say? You're going to go to where? Church, okay? We often say that we're going to church. I've got to get my family or children into church. We need to prioritize going to fellowship group. Like we're going to school, or like we're going to the mall, or like we're going to the game. And what we're going to learn in the book of Acts, Four Oaks, is that the church is not something that's primarily organizational, or something that we do, or something that we go to. Church is way beyond teaching good morals, getting good teaching for your kids, imparting good moral character and life skills, okay? As important as things like the YMCA and Indian Princesses and Boy Scouts and the Touchdown Club and the Boosters, and those are not a knock on any of those things, okay? They're all important and relevant in their particular point. That is not what church is, okay? Church is not something that we are merely a part of. The church primarily is a spiritual community of God's people who've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's our family. It's our life. It's who we are. It's our relational reality. It's where we draw relational energy and synergy from each other. And you may say, Pastor Paul, that sounds like total crazy cult-like talk, okay? Because it's not crazy, because in Matthew 12, Jesus said this. They said, hey, Jesus, your family is outside. And by the way, your mother, your brothers and sisters, and guess what, Jesus? They think you're crazy. Okay? You're teaching, you're acting the fool. You need to come back inside. And what does Jesus tell them? He says, who are my brothers? And who is my mother? In other words, who's my family? And Jesus says, you're my family. Everyone who does the will of me and my Father, those who find their identity in me. And here's just a question for us, Four Oaks Church, and just filter this through your grid for the coming season. How would God transform our community life here at Four Oaks Church if we began to think of our church family in some of the same categories that we do our biological family? How would God transform our life together? And let me just flesh this out and give you an example. For those of you who have to travel for work, who have to be away from your family, I know there's a number of you who have to do that. You know, in order to be apart from your family, it better be for a pretty good reason, right? And so you are going to strategize, you are going to plan, you're going to organize your life in such a way, hopefully, to not be apart from your family more than you have to be. But let me ask you this. What do you think God would begin to do in our life together, in our relationships, in our fellowship groups, in our worship together, if we all began to look at the family here in the same way, in the same categories that we look at our own families? Because what we're going to find in the book of Acts is that they fostered a fierce commitment to the family of God. See, oftentimes the way that we orient to these things is I may or may not prioritize fellowship group or worship or church during the season, depending upon what season of life I'm in and what I'm going to perceive that I'm receiving or not receiving by being apart. But let me ask you a question. What would begin to happen if God began to change our heart and perspective about this church family when we began to look at this as a place, not merely by what am I missing or what am I missing or not missing by being here, to what are others missing or not missing when I'm not there? Four Oaks, do you realize there are people here who need you? There are people here who would greatly benefit by your gifts and by your relationship and by your presence. Magic happens, if I can use that word, okay? Magic, spiritual magic, I'm digging a deeper hole here, okay? Spiritual life happens when we come to this place or that fellowship group or that Bible study not asking primarily, what am I getting today, okay? What are the cool things that I'm having to give up in order to be here? But God, there's somebody here who needs me. There's somebody here who needs to be built up and encouraged and motivated and challenged and transformed and ministered to that would not happen if God was not using my gifts here in this time and in this place. Hey, wait a minute, we might say. There are people here who need me. And guess what? Yes, you need them as well. Because we're going to, in the book of Acts, we're going to be confronted with this reality over and over and over again about the priority of the family of God. I mean, you've heard me say this before. I look around this room, and there is no human reason that half of you should be hanging out with the other half this morning, okay? You're different ages, okay? You're different vocations. Some of you are in the public sector. Some are in the private sector. Some of you school your children differently. Some of you live in different geographic locations. Some of you dress differently than other people. And in the secular world, this does not happen. There is no human reason all of you should be hanging out here this morning. Why are you here? Because of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus. And what he has created by dying on the cross for us, he has purchased the community of people. And we rally to his name, his banner, King Jesus. And that identity now transforms everything about who we are. Now let me just encourage you this season. We'll hear more about fellowship groups as we jump into the fall and campuses and all that. Choose your campus. We have two campuses here at Four Oaks Church. We have the Killarn campus and the Midtown campus. Choose your campus. Okay? Choose your fellowship group. Dare I say it, choose your friends and dive in to the family of God. We believe that not only will God bless your life and transform your life because of that act of faith, we think he wants to use you to serve and care for and minister to others. All right, so theme one, upward, we need the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Theme two, which is inward, we need a fierce commitment to the family of God, the community of God. And third theme, I want to spend a little time on this one. And this corresponds to outward, okay, dimension. And here it is. Four Oaks, we need God to awaken us to the urgency of the mission. And understand that we are here at Four Oaks to multiply Christians, campuses, and churches. And Jesus' commission to the apostles and the church was crystal clear. And look at Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And folks, you're going to say, oh no, this is where the pastor like hammers on us for not sharing our faith. Let me not start there. Okay, I'll come to that in just a second. Okay, let me just start by offering you an incredible encouragement, okay, that I get when I read the book of Acts. We love to have all these idyllic visions and images of how pristine and noetic and pure the New Testament church was. And let me just dispel you of that right away. They were just as messed up and issue-oriented as we are. Okay? Because I want you to think about this. The church of Acts was a lot like us. They had received their gospel blessings. They had their community. They had their friends. They had their network. And guess what? They were just like us. They didn't want to lose it. And so, despite what Jesus had told them to, hey, once you receive your gospel blessing, scatter, go. Go back to your homes. Go to Judea, go to Samaria, spread the gospel. We don't want this to merely reside in the city of Jerusalem. You need to go. But they didn't. They didn't want to leave because they had a pretty cool thing going on in Jerusalem, did they not? They had their relationships. They had a pretty good teaching team in Jerusalem, did they not? Okay, they had Peter, and they had John, and they had James, and not to mention the other apostles. I mean, this was, they had gotten theirs. And folks, they are a lot like us. They did not want to lose it. And they were fearful, and they didn't want to leave. And then Jesus did the most gracious thing, an awesome thing, and it's the reason we're here today. He brought circumstances and trial and persecution into the life of the church so that they could no longer remain in Jerusalem. They had to scatter. And when they scattered, they took the gospel with them. He loved the church so much, he sent Saul to persecute them. Isn't it interesting? And I've never noticed this in the book of Acts. We always think about Paul or Saul being the primary missionary in the early church and all his missionary journeys, which is true. But it was also Paul and his persecution of the church which caused the church to initially scatter to be on mission. And I think that's just really cool how God in his sovereignty works those things. But folks, let me ask you a question. What is your Jerusalem? What is my Jerusalem? Where have you set up shop in your life and said, this far, Lord, and no further? When it comes to evangelism and mission and outreach, Lord, I know they are important, but certainly they're important for someone else and not for me. I've got my family. I've got my fellowship group. I've got my friends. I've got my community. I've got my relationships. All the while forgetting that for every single one of us, there is a Judea and a Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What is your Jerusalem? Maybe it's your neighbor that you've lived there 10 years and have never met the people that live around you. Maybe it's your coworker. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone in your Pilates class. Maybe it's someone that you see every single day in Starbucks. I don't know what it is for you. Where are you saying when it comes to mission and outreach, this far, Lord, and no further? Do you realize that that had been the attitude and the spirit of the founding members of this church 25 years ago? You and I would not be here receiving the gospel blessings in this place like we are. Folks, we want the story of Acts to be our story, to continue to be our story. And let me just tell you as a confession, because churches do take on the characteristics of their leaders, and you need to know this, in personal confession, I don't think as leaders we've done a very good job of this at all. In my notes, I said a horrible job, but I just wanted to kind of leave. Okay, I don't think we've done a good job with that. Because as the church gets bigger, as it grows, as ministry expands, as things happen, the natural flow of things, just like in your own families, is to think about the issues of your own family, is to think about the issues of your own church. But we want to push mission down as leaders into every aspect of our church life for the coming season. Now, let me just mention a couple of things, and then we're going to move towards the table, on the corporate end of things and then on the personal end of things. Okay, so if you're thinking about under this point of outward, what do we need to be doing as leaders to help create opportunities corporately for that to happen? And what are important things for us to do personally, individually, as believers before him? Okay, and I bulleted these out. I'm not going to spend much time talking about them. I'm just going to reference them, and we'll come back and you'll hear more about them in the fall. One is the marriage conference that Josh referenced. Great thing to bring your friends to. Okay, many people will come. They may not come to church. They'll come to a marriage conference. You need to come to the marriage conference, okay, and bring someone with you. Because you know of our desire to create a third place here in the Four Oaks Center. We've been talking about with the YMCA and Red Eye Coffee and all those things. All those things are, you're like, I haven't heard anything in a while. Those things take time. They're going on behind the scenes. We met with architectural people this week about Red Eye and our builder and all that. It's happening, okay? Demolition will start soon. It just takes time. There's a whole backstory to that. See Pete Butler, and he'll answer all your questions, okay? But that's a thing that's going to be coming online, Lord willing, this year. Because the medical clinic, which is going to be happening in a couple of weeks, is an opportunity for us to look outward and see who does not have the same sort of medical care and needs and access that I do, okay? If you want to know more about the medical clinic and how we're drawing in people from the community who need it, you can get information outside or on the church website. Food Truck Wednesday, because let me say this, one of the best-kept secrets around here is what happens here on a Wednesday night, okay? Beginning September 9th, Rob, 10th? 10th, yes, September 10th, 9th, there won't be a lot happening here. But on the 10th, okay, Wednesday night, guys, over 100 students descend upon this place. And they're bringing their non-Christian friends, and they're bringing folks, and it's one of the best evangelistic things that we have going on here. And there's going to be food trucks that are going to hang out, and people will come and stop and eat. And it's a really cool synergizing thing where we want to make our area here and our strategic place in this property a visible place in our community. Guys, the way that we communicate, how we connect with visitors on a Sunday morning, what we're putting in their hands in terms of bulletin and how our social media strategy. I'm not going to get into all those things. Those are just all the sorts of things that we're asking as leaders, Lord, what do we do to help create this culture here? Lord, what does it mean? We want to be a multi-campus church of 4 to 5 campuses across the Tallahassee area. Lord, where do you want us to go next? What do you want us to do? You need to know if you're new to Four Oaks, we have a Midtown campus that's worshiping down in Midtown. 200 people there worshiping last week. Lord, there's other parts of the city where you want us to go. How do you want us to do it? How do you want us to train young men to go plant churches? Lots of things there, guys, that we are strategizing about corporately as leadership. But let me say this on the personal level. There's something that needs to happen for each of us individually in our hearts here. Because it's really easy when it comes to outreach and mission and evangelism to be all about those things at 40,000 feet, right? It's easy to amen all the things that I just said in sort of an abstract, theoretical way. We love to think about all the things that the quote-unquote church will do, that someone out there will do, forgetting what? We're the church. You are the church. And so one of the things that we are going to institute as part of this Acts series is something that we're calling One Life. And next week, every person in the church will get this booklet called The Book of Acts, Unconquered, a shameless, okay, ripoff of Seminole Nation here. Unconquered, from One Life to All Nations. Okay, and this is going to serve one as a quiet time guide for you, okay, in the coming season. We'll hand these out every 6 weeks. This covers the first 6 sermons. It tracks with the sermons. It will be used for your fellowship groups. There'll be discussion questions. There'll be little readings and Bible study. And there's a little section each and every week called One Life. Because, guys, when we think about the world, Judea, Samaria, that can be overwhelming. But we're asking all of us at Four Oaks this season to say, what is the one life that God would have you impact? Who do you pray for? Who do you intersect with? Who do you build a relationship with? How do you incorporate the principles that we're talking about here into your own life? And our prayer is that not just corporately, but personally, individually, every single one of us will be awakened to the urgency of the mission. From one life to all nations, the book of Acts unconquered. Let me close with this. And I kind of just put this under the rubric of epilogue. How does all this happen? It's under the rubric of the Holy Spirit giving life. What are the ingredients that I believe God will particularly use for this season? And this is nothing fancy what you're about to hear. Okay? It's the kind of stuff you hear all the time, because it's the kind of stuff the Bible talks about all the time. And one is this: service. As we talk, if you weren't here last week, go online, listen to Pastor Dave's sermon on John 13, all about laying aside our agendas, relinquishing our neurotic control of our time. Really taking the opportunity to serve this season. There's the little service cards on your chair. Guys, first of all, thank you to all who responded last week. Thank you for everyone who stepped up and said, I want to serve. Guys, there's still areas that we need people to serve this coming season, particularly children's ministry. Stop by, see Audrey Scott on the way out today. Or you can drop cards at the Connect desk. But one of the things we're going to find for folks this season is that God built the church on the backs of those who served. And Acts is a service manual for us for the coming season. All right, so one ingredient is serve. Where is God calling you to do that this season? Number two, generosity. Guys, if you don't like talk about money, then blame God and Acts. Because you can take a rock, okay, and throw it at the book of Acts, and you're going to hit the theme of generosity somewhere. One of the things that we're going to be just totally bowled over by is the fact that from the very get-go, there was incredible financial need in the church. There was a famine. They were all these people had gotten saved all over the Roman Empire. They'd come to Jerusalem, and they didn't want to leave. And what are we going to do with 5,000 people? How are we going to house them? How are we going to feed them? How are we going to care for the family of God? And despite severe financial need, the church continued to move forward on mission. And let me explain just briefly, guys, how I think generosity is a real key for us. A lot of you are looking forward to going home today after the service, or you're off work tomorrow and you want to chill at your house and you want to watch football, or you're really neurotic like Brian Trosta said, and you want to work and labor in your yard. Okay, I don't know what that's about, Brian. But anyway, nonetheless, you're really looking forward to being home. Okay, you just want to prop your feet up and drink whatever it is that you drink, and you want to totally chill out. But imagine you get home and you don't have the key. You've locked the keys in the house. Or you've, and don't go through the whole, you know how to get in your house. Don't forget all that, okay? It messes up the illustration. You don't have the key. Guys, in that situation, the most important thing about your house is not the key. The most important thing about your house is the cool stuff that's inside, okay? But without the key, you don't have access to the rest of the house. For folks, that's exactly how generosity functions in the life of the church. Money is not the most important thing here. But without money, we don't have access to all the privileges and blessings that God has given us here to enjoy and to make him known in the life of this church. And when I look at our giving, and we do all these evaluations of where we are in the current season, guys, there's good news and bad news, okay? And the good news and the bad news is the same. They're one and the same thing. The bad news is that we have a lot of folks receiving the blessings of ministry. They're in their fellowship group. They're worshiping. Their children are in children's ministry. But they're not proportionally vested in their giving. Because one of the things that's going to be really important here, and it's a biblical principle, Galatians 6, if you're receiving ministry here, if you are part of this family, God is calling you to be vested in generosity for the building of his church. But guys, the good news is the same as the bad news. And you may say, how is not everyone's vested proportionally financially? How is that good news? Guys, if it was true that everybody was proportionally giving relative to their involvement in this church, it'd be really bad. Because we would know that we are just tapped out and we cannot do all the things that we think God is calling us to do. We've tapped our resources and we don't have any more capacity. But folks, that's not the case at all. There's lots and lots of awesome things that we could do as a church family to further the mission, to grow his church, to invest in the body of Christ, to take the gospel, and the potential is there. You see, so many of you have been extraordinarily generous, and we are praying in this coming season that so many more of you will be as well. Because there's life in that. And when we look in the book of Acts, over and over and over again, people have leveraged their very lives and their resources to see the gospel transform lives. That is exciting. And that is good news. So generosity. And the last thing, and this is it, prayer. Because if you want to be challenged in your personal prayer life, Acts is a great book for you. You know, as pastors, we love to read all the passages about how God was multiplying the church and growing the church. But one of the things that it tells us in Acts 2 is that awe, A-W-E, came upon every soul. Because we're all living in awe of something, either this life or the world or money or sexuality or comfort or power, or we live in awe of God. And we know, in this book of Acts, we see what happens when God's Holy Spirit gives his presence and power, when people are serving and are generous, when they are prioritizing the family of God, when they are on mission. This happens because God has given them a sense that there's something bigger than themselves and their lives It's about him. And it's about eternity. And it's about seeing the gospel transform people's lives. As last year, when we preached through Nehemiah, we had a walk the walls on Wednesdays. It was an eight-week prayer thing that we invited you guys to come and pray. On the 22nd of September, and you can mark this on your calendars, we're going to preach on Pentecost on that Sunday. And then on Monday morning, we're going to march in here, September 22nd, 7 a.m., and we're going to pray for 24 hours. And you can come for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever. Okay, we're going to make Dave Harvey take the 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. shift. Okay, it's going to be glorious. We just signed him up for that. But we're going to pray. And we are going to commit ourselves to the very same thing the church in Acts did, asking him to give us his presence and power to transform our community, to put us on mission. And why do we do all this? Let me say, Pastor Paul, why do we spend 35 minutes talking about Acts and what we want to get out of it this season? Guys, it's very simple. And as guests, you need to know this. We do this because of Jesus. We believe Jesus came and died and purchased salvation for us, his people. He made a way to know God that would not have been possible because of our sin and separatedness from him. And that's what this table is about this morning. That Jesus came and laid his life down so that not only us who were here, but people everywhere could come to know him.